think I did that right.
If I didn't, we'll find out real fast.
Off to a good start.
It's off to a great start. My name is Mike Kramer, and I'm an alcoholic. What an absolute treat. We have been trying to do this again for a couple of years, and we could never get dates worked out, and when it finally did, it did. It was just the coolest. There's nothing I'd rather do than this here. We get to talk about a lot of other stuff sometimes, but this thing about sponsorship and about working the work and about trying to get through there in some timely fashion is my big soapbox deal. I love this stuff. I know that over the years, you know, people say one of you twins is the good one and one's the bad one, and I always say it's Chris is the bad one, but after we get finished talking about this, some of you guys are going to be going, no, you're the evil twin. I know you are. I'm rabid about following the book and the dictates that the book laid out. Years ago, Dr. Bob wrote this little piece, and in this piece he said that there's no such thing as a personal interpretation of the 12 steps. And yet, what we've done over the years is we've got this thing worked out where we have a whole bunch of people, lovely, beautiful people with personal interpretations of what the big book is and was and what we were supposed to be doing and how we were supposed to be working the steps. And as a process on this thing, that thing called a common solution that they talk about has kind of drifted right out the window. And so you got a lot of guys that go, well, I don't really believe that. Oh, you don't? Well, follow me around and go to as many groups as I get a chance to talk to and watch how those meetings are conducted, and you'll know exactly. You'll be crystal clear on that point. Every AA group is not the same, and we don't want them to be the same. It's not necessary to be the same, but the message should be the same. That common solution, wherever you go, ought to be the same. That's why they called it a common solution. So, the effort here is not... There's a part of me that gets really weird about this stuff because I don't want to be perceived as some guru of the big book. I'm not. I'm just a drunk, a fairly pathetic drunk at that, who loves the literature and has seen this thing from two different perspectives. Some of you guys that know me and have heard my story, a lot of you have, know that I sobered up in 88, 2 months after Chris did, and I started AA and loved AA from the very first meeting I was ever in. That smoke-filled room was the coolest place I'd ever been in with a bunch of these people that loved me to death. And I got better and better, and then I began to get sicker and sicker, and there was nothing to stop that downward slide of me getting sick again because we weren't talking about anything called a solution. We were talking about something called fellowship. And I'm telling you, I'm the poster boy of middle-of-the-road solution. I will do anything in the world to avoid anything that looks like work or discipline. I don't want any piece of it, and I am rabid about that. And what happened was is that some of you guys are there. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You're sitting right here in a meeting, and you got all this big circle, and everybody's sharing, and you come into the meeting already a little beat up, and by the end of the meeting, you're just like ready to slide off onto the floor. You're just praying, somebody's got to catch me. Somebody has got to tell me what it is that I'm missing that's keeping me from getting what everybody else seems to be getting. And it's just, you guys understand that. Some of you anyway. Some of you new guys that are still enthused about the endless discussion meeting and you can't wait to get to another one to spill your guts, some of this you may not understand yet. All I want you to do is fast forward somewhat, spend some time with some of these older guys in the room that have been through that grinder, and watch what happens. And maybe you'll avoid that stuff. And the only thing you've got to do to avoid it is to learn what's in the big book and to learn what we have to do in order to recover. Because once you understand what it is, everything about your perception of AA and your discussion meeting thing will change. It'll shift. It's like I'm sitting in the meeting and in these lame discussion meetings that go on ad nauseum, and I'm here being taught several things. One of the key things I'm being taught is that if I manage well, I can stay sober. She's teaching me that if I just treat my husband a particular way, I can stay sober. If I can just manage the boss a little better, I can stay sober. And this is what we're teaching these guys, because we're taking slowly but surely, we're taking the book out of the picture. This is not, I'm not going to paint this with too broad a brush. There are groups that are effectively treating alcoholism using the big book in those discussion meetings. But they're getting fewer and fewer and far between. It gets to be where, you guys know the drill. Some of you guys sobered up in groups where that was where we could get sober like that and do a good job, and then it got sick and what we're trying to do in a hopefully is stop the downward slide of those meetings that seem to have gotten off track. Again, the rooms are full with people that love us to death and want the very best for us. But I can assure you guys, I'm standing here at almost 19 years sober, and I'm telling you right now, I have seen the decimation of the non-stop open discussion meeting with no holds barred, where you're free to talk about anything you want to do, where we turn these meetings into junior therapy sessions, and they are not. And we must, if you want to turn them into that kind of a meeting, at least have something to bring to the meeting that's out of the book, that's guaranteed. They talk about the book being a guaranteed solution to what ails us, then why is it that we want to hold the book at such distance? Why is it that we want to be so vague about it? It's like the steps have become, the steps and especially sponsorship have become this real fuzzy, vague, nebulous kind of thing. And we all say, oh yeah, I know about sponsorship. Well, do you? Well, let's talk about it. Tell me what you know about sponsorship.
Well, you know, it's,
well, yeah. We're back to fuzzy again. All we're trying to do is kind of knock some of the fuzzy edges off of it so we get sharp delineations of what the directions told us we would do. Some of us get real grindy about that. I don't want anybody telling me what I got to do. Super. You don't have to do any of it. You don't. But if you're floundering and if you're having a tough time, if you come in, that means I got to start over. I don't mind starting over. Anywhere, that's a spit zone. That's my favorite place to do it. Golly. You'll know why they call it the spit zone in a minute.
Keep backing up.
Everybody that knows this, you ever watch anywhere that I've ever talked like this, they always start in the back and fill in this way. And when there's no place else to sit, these poor bastards on the front come in and sit down and go, oh, shit, here it is again. And I'll be gleeking them like this, and they'll be doing this number like this. It's just horrible. Oh, man. So, the whole purpose of this thing, then, would be, as we work through this deal, is to interact with you guys and hopefully answer some questions and kind of get through this deal based on our experience, my 7 years in Middle of the Road Solution getting beat up and just busted up in the rooms. Trust me, the worst I ever was 7 years sober sitting in these rooms. It was a nasty experience. I know it may not be your experience, but that was my experience, and it was ugly. And I see so much of it today. And people want to stand back and they want to cross their arms and go, it's just as good today as it ever was. And I'm going, guys, I'm going to tell you what. If statistically you can show me where that's true, I'll shut up and sit down and I'll never, ever stand in front of a podium again. Ever. Statistically, it's not okay. And we're not getting healthier. And the fellowship as a whole is shrinking in number because we're not doing the things that we were supposed to do. And my experience over the last 13 years with a bunch of big book guys doing a lot of this is that I see that when we get back in the book, it's a simple process, a simple shift in our perception and attitude about what we're going to do. And the moment I say, you know what, maybe it's a good idea to just look back at my program again. Just take one look at it, and what we'll do is we'll sift what I know about Alcoholics Anonymous and my program through what the big book tells me. It's a simple process. And by sifting it through there, we begin to say, okay, I'm here, I'm okay. I'm here, I'm okay. I'm here, I'm back fuzzy again. I'm not sure where I am on that. I don't understand for sure what I feel about this thing. Now listen, the reason that this is so important, because at some point in time, this guy right here, David's going to walk up to me and say, hey, Myers, will you help me? Can you sponsor me? And buddy, every area in your program that's fuzzy, you're going to be going, oh. And the degree of that fuzziness is directly correlated to your anxiety about sponsoring this guy. If I'm fuzzy about sponsorship, if I'm fuzzy about my responsibility to the new guy, trust me, when he says, would you sponsor me? If I'm not sure, what I do is I hand him the book and I say, David, what I want you to do is read the whole damn thing and read and then read Bill's story and the rest of these stories, and here's another couple of books, and then in the spring, I hope to see you in a meeting and we'll talk about it. Because the reality is, I hope David dies. I hope David goes away. I hope David does anything except come back and see me about sponsorship, because really, I'm talking, I can stand in my meeting and say, I know all about sponsorship. I've been doing it a while. But deep dark in the darkest part of the night, when you're laying in your bunk and you're looking at the ceiling and you're asking yourself the questions, do I really understand what it's going to take to get this guy through the work? Am I clear on what my responsibility is to him? The reality is that in the big picture is that most of the time we bite off way too much as sponsors. Nowhere in the book did it say I had to be David's friend. Nowhere in the book did it say I had to love David and invite David to Thanksgiving dinner and take. I didn't have to do all of this stuff. My responsibility is to carry David through the work as quickly and as concisely as I can, get David in this stuff so that he could have something called a spiritual experience. And once he begins to have that spiritual experience, it's like raising little kids. It's like they're just, David's just bouncing off the wall and he's having such a screwed up time with everything, and I'm having to hold that big sumbitch real tight just to keep him out of trouble. I hope I like this guy, because he's going to kick my butt later.
He's going to be all right.
I was doing a talk one time, and we went through this same thing, and I just picked a name out of the crowd of a guy that I had seen on his tag like this, and afterwards he comes up and he says, don't do that anymore. And I said, what? What? And he said, don't make me the butt of every one of your jokes. And I said, sir, forgive me. I had no idea. But talking about taking the wind out of your sails, I was just like going, my God. Sensitive. We're holding David real close because he's an infant. He's brand new in this deal. He's going to make mistakes. We've got to hold him up, and it's exactly like raising a kid. He walks this way, and we're going just like this, and we're catching him. He walks this way, and we're, whoa, 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 whoa. He's talking to that girl. No, not the girl! But don't we do just that? That's it. And so, but after a while, he's worked the work, he's had the experience, and he walks in, and you see him. When he walks in the room, you watch his face, and he's walking in, and you're going, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You guys have carried guys through this stuff like this, and he's a different man. And he's standing a little taller, and he's a little more sure of himself, he's a little more confident, and as he walks into the room like this, you go, yeah, that's one of my guys right there. I did that. No, but the deal is, though, but as he gets healthier, what do? We quit holding them so close. We back up like this, and we let them go. And we just let them walk. And it's just like raising a kid. Man, by the time you get a kid to high school, he better be pretty good ready to stand on his own two feet and start making decisions like an adult. If he's not, if he's still making decisions like an eighth grader, you may have to do some shoring up. You may have to step back in close again and see what you can do to do some damage control around that deal. And we'll talk about some of that stuff this morning. But there's the goal. There's the deal. And all I'm asking on this stuff is that you be willing to look at this thing. I got to tell you a 15-second little story here. It's one little side road, but it clears up the stuff that I'm talking about. When I almost died in the home group that I sobered up in, I mean, literally, guys, I'm absolutely the crazy. I'm crazier than Crap House Rat, and I'm just sick. Oh, my gosh. 7 years from my last drink and my last outside issue. I mean, it just, I'm nuts. And so I get over with these big book thumpers, and they scoop me up, and they get me back through the work, and they get me on the firing line doing the things that I'm supposed to do, carrying messages and doing this other stuff, and it's a completely different deal. But let me tell you something, guys. There's a part of me steeped in something called ego and arrogance that insists that I tell these guys how brilliant I am about Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, nothing I've done for 7 years has worked much. I mean, I'm a meeting makers make it kind of guy, and I'm staying sober because I'm going to a whole bunch of meetings, and that's about the extent of it. I'm no more qualified at 7 years sober to sponsor somebody than I was the day I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. I've not made any forward progress in that area. And yet, I just got to tell these guys how smart I am. I'm looking at one thing. I haven't taken a drink since January 15th of 1988. I'm trying to tell these guys, because I've been sober 7 years, I have something to share. And maybe you do. Most of you do. But I'm telling you, it's possible to extend way downrange in Alcoholics Anonymous, go to a whole bunch of meetings, and still be lacking the basic knowledge of what the big book has to say about the steps and about God and about getting this thing called a spiritual awakening. And it's only within ourselves in that deep, dark part of the night that we can answer those questions. And so if the stuff that we talk about becomes like pulling teeth, I apologize. It is not our intent in any form or fashion to make anybody feel uncomfortable at all. And I can promise you this, if what you're doing is working for you, God bless you, and I'm so delighted you're here. It's not my intention to ever change your course. With that said, I want you to understand that my heart and soul bleeds for the newcomer that comes into this deal. I'm delighted we're all here. But my heart bleeds for the guy that's still sitting out there on that park bench suffering in the cold this morning because he was up all night doing those other outside issues or drinking himself silly. You see? That's the man that when he comes in here finally, when we finally get his little scrawny stinking butt in here, that we can love him and hug him and introduce him to something called fellowship that he may have missed his whole entire life. But then I want to make damn sure that there's a whole bunch of us here that know the common solution and can gather this little guy up and get him to God. I don't want him coming in here and hearing him about how crappy your day was and him sitting here scratching his head going, what does your day have to do with the fact that I can't stay sober? You see, that's what we need to stop. There was a great place to share that, and it was called a sponsor, and we need to embrace that sponsor. When my guys call me and they want to tell me how crappy their day is, that's what I signed on to do, is to listen to that. And if I can listen to that, he doesn't have to share it in a goofy meeting. He doesn't have to take up 40 guys' valuable recovery time talking about that kind of stuff. And if that's too rigid for you, I'm sorry. But we need to sort of get back that direction with this thing so we can see. One more thing and then I'm done. One of the things that we're going to talk about over and over again is this contrast between where we are today and where we want to be over here. And one of the coolest things is people go, well, I'm fine right where I am. Well, have you experienced 12-step work with a whole bunch of guys? Have you sponsored a whole bunch of men? Have you been involved in this thing called the firing line? Well, no. Well, then how can you tell me that you're okay and comfortable right where you are? You're missing the whole thing. It's like this stuff we talk about sex. I mean, we can all talk about it all we want to, but buddy, until you've had sex, you ain't got a clue what it's like. But I see guys, Wednesday night I was talking to a bunch of guys up in Denton, and we're talking about this stuff, and these guys are going, well, we're just real comfortable here. It's just a fine thing. We just fellowship, and they're just going on and on and on. And I start asking this question. Tell me what you guys are doing around 12-step work. You guys got any group-type gigs where you're going out to carry the message to wind-up joints and treatment places? And it's just like a sea of blank faces. They're just like, no. Well, what about sponsorship? How strong is sponsorship in this group? Tell me what you guys are doing. There's some of us sponsor, but most of us don't. Oh, okay. But we're okay. We're having fun. Oh, you see all the little tables, the domino tables, and all this other stuff. They are having fun. The fellowship's great. I'll never knock that. It's a huge part of this deal. It's part of our unity, and it's important. You see? But it kills me that they haven't experienced what they need to experience. Because once they experience it, and everybody in here, if we took a straw poll, everybody in here who has stepped out into the firing line and made the decision to get uncomfortable in their own skin long enough to get out and greet somebody, shake somebody's hand, and get somebody involved in 12-step work, sponsor somebody, anybody that's willing to get on that firing line knows how quickly their life changed. How everything began to come about full face and how everything began to alter, you see? And all we're trying to do and when we do this kind of stuff is get even more of you off the fence, quit sitting there in that place that we get. I know, I'm not talking from some spiritual mountaintop here, guys. I understand what it's like to be there. I'm okay. I'm fine. God, as my life is wheels off and just slowly unraveling, yeah, I understand. But if all of you come with us, it'll be the better thing. Stop and think what a cool impact we could have on everybody out there if we were just all doing the same thing. From the same book, from the same piece of literature. It'd be great. That's all I got, Chris. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
So rigid.
My name's Chris Raymer. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. If I
I don't do anything really goofy this weekend, Monday I'll have 19 years, and I'm right. Right. It's not the big one, though. 20 is the big one. That's when you start drinking again. You know, when I got here forever, they told me honesty, open-mindedness, willingness would get you a long way. And it's still, we were laughing the other day with some guys about it. It's still amazing to me how the longer we're sober, some of us, myself included, how we can quickly lose some of that. We cease to be open-minded. That's exactly what Myers was talking about. You know, I hear it. Both of us get a chance to speak out pretty often, and very seldom do we get to do a cool little deal like this. I know so many of y'all in this room, and it's overwhelming, truly, to see you guys. So a lot of you I don't know, and haven't had a chance to meet you yet. Probably won't either, but you'll be running out of here. but I want to make sure that we hear a lot out there in the public when we're speaking is that, how can I put this? Well, my sponsor said this, so this is the way it is. Well, my counselor at treatment said this, so this is the way it is. And this is where we have a grind here in this room, is because where we're trying to come from is not so much a place of just opinion. It's about what does our literature say? What does the big book say? What does our subsequent AA conference proof stuff say? What's the archive say? What does our history show worked best for us? And so I think we all need to kind of come at this with an open mind so that we can have a new experience with this. I sponsor a lot of guys now. Do I think that I could become a better sponsor? Damn straight. Every time I sponsor another little goofy one, I learn something. I will continue to grow, hopefully, in my effectiveness with the newcomer and with my group. I've got, you never get to a spot where you stop learning, but sometimes the length of sobriety that you have is the noose around your effing neck. That's where I watched Myers at 7 years sober be pretty close-minded to making any changes. Because I'm staying sober one long, arduous day at a time. You know, there's another way. You know, I used to read those passages in the big book talk about we insist on being happy, joyous, and free. And it's just verbiage. Especially if you're not happy, joyous, and free. You'll follow? But the truth is today I am happy, joyous, and free. I got a pretty cool life. And I think it's as a result of some of the work I've done in these 12 steps. So I want to make sure that before we get started in this all day long today, I don't know when we're going to finish up, guys. We might be done by 3. We may go over depending on how many questions you guys got. We've got some information that we absolutely want to make sure we get to cover. But we're not here as buddies. You're free to agree or disagree with anything we say. I don't want anybody to leave this room lockjawed. Well, they can't talk to us that way. Sure we can. We get excited about this. I know some of you don't get excited about this, but just exactly what Myers was saying. You get on the firing line, you get in the trench with us and help us start sponsoring people. I guarantee you, you will get so excited about this it's not even funny. And I almost missed it. Most of y'all in here have heard my story, and I won't reiterate it. I mean, it's just 7 years in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. He came to AA and loved it. I came to AA in the early 80s, and I just hated it. I would just leave, and I would go sit in my truck, you know, and pick up my quart of beer and drink, you know, and just like, what was that I just said? I got all these war stories, and I can't relate to any of those war stories. I'm a functioning alcoholic. I'm broke. I owe everyone.
The depression's kicking my ass. I'm taking handfuls of pills to keep stable. You'll follow me? I'm living with a woman that does not want to be with me. And I am working in a kitchen, and I hate cooking, and I just hate this. I just... You're down with it? And I walk in here, and you listen to you talking about your goddamn DWIs, and you're chopping people up and putting them in bags. And going all this other thing. Buddy, I know I'm screwed up. I mean, I'm a mess, but I mean, you guys are I am just not like you. And I still watch that crap go on today, and I hated it. And when we weren't doing that, we were doing our favorite topic, you know, who's got the problem? Let's fix you. Let's play junior therapists and listen to people that can't even take care of their own shit, trying to fix my shit. And it's just like, what are we talking about here? That was my representation of what Alcoholics Anonymous was when I came into the rooms. There was not a big book in the room. No literature. The steps were on the wall. We read how it works. And that's the last we heard about the 12 steps. Now, that's my experience, guys. I've watched a lot of you nodding your heads, and a lot of you are still experiencing the same thing. And I'm going to say the same thing that my brother said. I'm not knocking that. If that's what you want to do, rock and roll. I'm saying there's something else out there called Alcoholics Anonymous. Because those meetings are not Alcoholics Anonymous. There's the fellowship, and there's the program. And somewhere along the line, we walk right over the program. We can do it. Lots of us sit in here. I know lots of you, friends of mine for years, and we've talked about this endlessly over coffee, about what happened to Alcoholics Anonymous. What Myers said, and I'm going to hit a little bit, the success rates in our fellowship are through the toilet. Now, I'll argue with anybody you want about this, guys. There's nothing scientific about it. Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't keep scientific statistics on this. We use chip sales as an indicator of how many people... I watch the guys that I sponsor, the people in my group, how many go back out, come back in, and go back out, come back in. I mean, guys, it's a revolving door. The guys in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous didn't seem to have that much problem. One is because they didn't mess with people that weren't ready for this. We spend an inordinate amount of time trying to talk people into getting sober. And that's not what our book tells us to do. On page 90, it says quite clearly, if the guy ain't ready, leave him the fuck alone. You know what it means by leave him alone? That means buddy is not visiting with you. And leave the room. Don't sit there and try to talk somebody into getting... If you're not done, you're not done. That is so rigid for some people. But what if they leave and die? Here's the other side of that. The time that you're wasting with this person trying to talk him into getting sober, there are people going to die. People that want to get sober. Need to get sober and are ready to get sober. But you're not going to have time to sponsor or work with them because you're too busy trying to spend all your time with somebody that cannot make a decision. Make sense, guys? 7 years playing that game, in and out, in and out, in and out. Never had a sponsor, never bought a big book, never worked one single step. And the best the cats can do for me is to tell me to keep coming back. Meeting makers make it. Proof positive that meeting makers don't make it. Proof positive that meeting makers gradually go insane and drink again. That's my experience. Not knocking meetings at all. But alcoholism is not treated by a meeting. Show me anywhere in our literature that it says that it will. We've got to stop telling the newcomer. If that's the best we can do. I'm not saying don't tell him to keep coming back. Tell him to keep coming back. But while you're at it, let's work the steps. What a concept. But that takes a little effort on our part. Make sense? That's the grinder with me and keep coming back. It works if you work. It just drives me nuts. There's, like my sponsor says, I smell more. You know, it's a little deeper than that. The book says a price has got to be paid. The price is the destruction of selfishness and self-centeredness. I can't keep coming into a meeting and just listening, hoping somebody will say something and that it will change my life. It means I've got to get off my butt and actually do some work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you take a new guy through the work? Quickly. Archives are full of documentation, folks, about how quickly we worked the newcomer through the steps in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just Carl Jung got Eddie Thatcher, took him to his house, and worked him through the steps in 2 weeks. This is before the big book was even published. Eddie, sober, few weeks, went and found Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson goes back to treatment for his third time. Left AA the first two times out of this detox hospital. Went back the third time and committed to stay the whole time. On his ninth day in Towns Hospital, while he's working, making his amends from the hospital, he has his barn-burning spiritual experience. Everybody thinks Bill Wilson had this barn-burning spiritual experience, and then he went out and started Alcoholics Anonymous. Then he went out. That's not the way it was. He did the work first. Then the rest came. You'll follow? They went and found Dr. Bob. A couple of weeks later, Dr. Bob relapses, falls on his ass because he refuses to make his amends. Makes his amends. Gets sober, but I'm fine. The rest is history. Bill D., number three, a lawyer. Sober, 2 weeks. Works the steps. Worked that great. It took them 18... What was the statistic? 18 months to finally get 10 sober people. You with us? They weren't messing with the cats that didn't want it. They were messing with the hardliners. Every one of them worked the steps rapidly. And yet we still have people in our fellowship, telling us to take our time to work the steps. It takes my breath away to think about that. How many millions of us died? Millions of us died. Right up to the point, 1935, we got this message and started utilizing it in our lives and found an absolute guaranteed way to sobriety. But we're going to tell the newcomer, you're not ready to work these steps yet. I work at a treatment center. A lot of y'all know that. And I hope I die there. I love spending time with you guys. And maybe one day I'll win the lottery and I'll never remember any money, but it's such a hoot to get a chance to do that. But I sit in that hospital and I watch you guys struggle with this, because you've heard so many people tell you, take your time, all the middle of the road crap that we hear in our meetings, and you guys bring this into treatment and try to meld it with all the therapeutic stuff that you get to hear, and nothing wrong with that. First three chapters of that book are great, folks. It talks about post-acute withdrawal, talks about the physical stuff, wonderful. The rest of it will kill you. That's just a fact. In 1987, working for Myers and thank God for family. I know. I wasn't exactly what you'd call your eighth employee. But I was doing the best I could with major brain damage. Perpetual hangover. But was working for Myers and tried to commit suicide, and I was just freaking miserable. I just hated my life, and the drinking was just, it was just nuts. And through, I believe, some spiritual direction, ended up back in Alcoholics Anonymous the next day. And I landed it back in a room. I'd never been to this meeting before. I walked in the back, and they were all carrying big books. Y'all heard me before. And they, there was something about this bunch. They were all lathered up, and they were interested in me. It wasn't, welcome, we'll see you later. It was, they showed some attention, and they showed me what to do. And in a very short period of time, I'm working the steps, and I have a spiritual experience, and the obsession lifted, and I've never returned since. And that's where I want you cats to be. Make sense? I have a progressive fatal illness called alcoholism and drug addiction. It's genetic. Alcoholism is not a behavioral problem. There is nothing, nor ever has been, a case study that showed there was ever one single solitary person that suffered from the disease of alcoholism and drug addiction that was caused by something external. Nothing.
Oh. That's good shit.
Guys, 7 years ago, you could have argued that. With the advent of the CAT scans and the MRIs and the advances they've made in that technology, you can absolutely see the difference in our brains compared to normal people's brains. We are not like other people. I know that doesn't come as a surprise to most of y'all in here. But you take away the booze from Chris Raymer, I am still abnormal, physically, mentally, spiritually. Guys, this is it. It's progressive in nature. It will get worse, never better. Y'all follow? Don't misunderstand me. My external circumstances can absolutely exacerbate the problem and make it worse. But there's a lot of people out there who were in bad marriages and drank too much, got out of the marriage, and they're drinking, drugging, moderated, and they were okay again. But they want to call themselves alcoholics. They're not. If you can stop, given sufficient reason, you ain't one of us. Y'all with us? Most of y'all are nodding your head. You know in the books where it talks about that, page 24 specifically. Guys, it talks about this thing called choice. Y'all hear me on First Step stuff, do it all the time. These guys in 1987, that night, and then we finished it up the next morning, they qualified me. For the first time in 7 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, they stopped talking about their goddamn problems and their war stories and qualified me to find out if I needed to be in these rooms or not. Are you an alcoholic? Are you a drug addict? Are you both? There's a difference. They need to be addressed differently. You'll follow us? That was the greatest gift that they could. Did that take a little time on their part? Absolutely. They gladly did it. And that's the single number one mistake I think we make in all the fellowships that I'm associated with. That's the single number one mistake we make with a newcomer. We stop qualifying them. We assume that they're here. Welcome. Do we even know that they need to be here? That's why we have so many people crap out. I'd rather see you crap out in the first 2 days you're here than to watch you stay sober 6 months and leave and take a half a dozen with you. Make sense? It's not a social organization, folks. We're not here just to entertain you. We're a spiritual program of action, is what our book says. And this is why some of y'all leave this room feeling uncomfortable. Because there's some responsibility involved with getting sober and staying sober. And a lot of people don't want to take that responsibility. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm black, I'm gay, I was molested. I hear the excuses all the time. I have way too many other problems. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Responsibility is what we got to take. I've had a pretty cool life, guys, for 19 years. And even when things were going lousy, I was comfortable in my skin. And the obsession to drink didn't leave. Didn't come back.
Details, details.
I was just seeing if y'all were listening. Coming from my perspective at the hospital at La Hacienda, staying sober a period of time and always staying as active as I could in the fellowship. But working at this hospital, you get to see such a cross-section of humanity come through that place. And you get to see a lot of cats that just don't want to get sober. They're only there because they got a bullet heading to their head. And, you know, as soon as the bullet goes away, they're back out doing their stuff. But it's an amazing thing to watch and see how many people we're getting in that hospital now. It's exactly what Myers was talking about. Who... 10 years ago, we never had anybody but newcomers come into that hospital. Almost brand spanking new people. Today, I can go to that hospital and there'll probably be 20 people there that had 5 years or more of sobriety in law. That's a tragedy. Tragedy. Over 50% of the groups that were in place in Dallas, Texas, where I got sober, 50% of those groups are gone now. Because of failure to adhere to the traditions. Y'all think about that. Our numbers in Alcoholics Anonymous over the last 10 years have dwindled. Why? Goddamn, we need it worse now than we ever did. We're taking more shots. I'm not even going to soapbox this, but I might. I get upset because we take so many shots from people out there about our fellowship. Every time you turn around, there's another one. Somebody sent an email last week about the orange papers. Do you guys want to feel uncomfortable? Go read those. People taking shots at our fellowship. Books everywhere. Alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous. Cult or Cure. Guys, there's thousands of books out there. Thousands of books out there taking shots at our fellowship. Why? Because we have gotten away from the clear, simple message that we were given in 1935. You with me? Most of the things that they're taking shots at, they should take shots at. Because of mistakes that we're making in our own fellowship, because we refuse to adhere to the 12 traditions. It's just real simple. Why do so few of us get involved in the 12 traditions? I'll tell you why. Piss poor sponsorship.
Amen.
Piss poor sponsorship. We have but one primary purpose. It's going to be a thread that we're going to hear all day long. We have one. One.
You taking notes, buddy?
Yes, sir.
You misspelled one.
One primary purpose, guys. Little stickers up here, y'all. You can help yourself to them. We have but one primary purpose: to help the newcomer, help the suffering alcoholic get sober. That's it. It ain't to fix your relationship. It ain't to take care of your money. One primary purpose: stay sober, help others achieve sobriety. And we have gotten so far off the page of that, it's not even... I've talked about this in lots of talks, and I'll end with it. At what point, when in our history... I see Chuck back there, I see some of you cats over here. Joe has been sober since Guy was a little boy. When? At what point did it get to be okay not to tell the newcomer how to get well? Seven years in Alcoholics Anonymous and nobody ever grabbed me by the neck and pulled me aside and said, buddy, we need to get on with this. We need to do this work. Now, come on, guys. Could I have asked for help? Yeah. And I get so frustrated with it because, you know, the newcomer doesn't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're here because they intuitively know that this is the place to be. Sometimes they're jammed here, you know, but they can't help but walk into our meetings and know that we've got an answer. But when's everybody going to get off dead center and give them the answer? It's the 12 steps. 12 steps get us connected to a thing called God via a spiritual experience. And God removes the obsession for me to drink. The 12 steps don't keep me sober. I asked this in a meeting. I was up in another state a few weeks ago. I have to be careful with these recordings. They travel. I trust me. But I was in another state and I was talking about this particular, what gets us sober? The 12 steps gets us sober. My ass. No, that's the mistake that these cats are coming up with. That this is some kind of a chicken shit self-help program. It's not. It's not a self-help program. Look up the big book. Pick up Hazleton's catalog. Pick up Hazleton's catalog and look up the big book. Look at the top, the title that it's under. Self-help. Go to the Library of Congress. Look up the big book. You know where? You know how you can find it? Cross reference. Self-help. Makes me want to puke. Self-help? I mean, we're preaching to the choir here. I know what you're doing. Come on, guys. I couldn't. I wanted to stay sober. I needed to stay sober and couldn't get sober until the obsession to drink was permanently removed from me. That's what this is about, folks. Book says on the title page that we can recover from alcoholism. we can recover from drug addiction. Y'all follow? The book says to introduce yourself as a man who has recovered. So let's all be doing that. If you've recovered, the obsession to use is gone. Start introducing yourself as a man who has recovered. Let's stop under the guise of humility introducing ourselves as recovering individuals. You either are recovered or you're not. The only exception to that is if you're brand new and you're still working the steps, I'll give you, you're still recovering. Once you get the steps done, you will have a guaranteed spiritual experience and you will recover. You with us? That's not what your treatment center said. That's not what your case manager said. That's what my book says. That's what our book says. Y'all cool? Most of the things, real quick before I shut up, most of the things that we're going to talk about today, we want to. Lots of us that have been around for a few days are asked by people who have long-term sobriety if we will sponsor them. We're not really focusing on that during this. We can talk about it and be glad to answer some of your questions along those later on. If you're sober with me and you ask somebody to take you through the work again or you want to change sponsors and you want to, we're talking about the brand new squeaky little fried pie knucklehead walking through the door, you know, sitting in the meeting, you know, y'all know the look, and he's sitting there and looks like a little groundhog, you know, that's the cat we're talking about. How do you take one of these little new guys through the steps rapidly so that you guys can get comfortable with this? Y'all with us? Groovy. That's all I got.
That's right.
I think we'll smoke a butt.
Yeah.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. Hey, guys, please help keep the rooms clean. So, pick up your trash, put it in the trash. Okay.